An Islamic State-affiliated gunman entered an Orlando nightclub in the early morning hours of June 12th and went on a rampage, killing dozens and wounding dozens more. The massacre was the deadliest mass shooting in American history. It is the most notable instance in a wave of mass shootings that has left Americans searching for answers. Discover the cause of such devastating bloodshed next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Now we see another mass murder shooting in America, and this time in Orlando, Florida. Something very sinister and evil is happening in America, and God says throughout the Bible that there is a cause for every effect, but who knows what is causing all of this bloody violence in the U.S. and other nations of Israel? Who knows the cause? There are end-time prophets, many of them, that prophesied of these events. And therefore, our time, Ezekiel was one of those prophets. And he said that the land is going to be filled, just filled with bloody crimes and massacres. Now, you have to know who Israel is. That's who he was prophesying to. You have to know who they are. There are nations of Israel today. You certainly need our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy if you don't have it. Ezekiel just said that, look, if blood touches blood, just one bloody scene after another. It seems like it's endless and goes on and on. And then at the same time Ezekiel told us what was prophesied, he also said the people are not going to heed it for the most part. Only a little remnant will heed the message. But almost nobody knows why this is happening, and it is a mystery. But it's a mystery I'm going to show you today should be solved, and we should understand what to do and what is needed to solve these terrible problems that are depressing and discouraging. Let me read to you from the Associated Press, and the title is Orlando Mourns in Death. And I'll just read a few short paragraphs. The last of the bodies were removed from the nightclub late Sunday, and vigils and makeshift memorials to the victims of the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Wielding an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle and a handgun, Mateen, a 29-year-old American-born Muslim, opened fire at the crowded Pulse Orlando Club early Sunday. He was killed in a gun battle with a SWAT team. The tragedy shocked the nation and cast a pall over Orlando, known all around the globe as the home of Walt Disney World and other theme parks. Now, that's something to think about, because here you have the world that has a view of the Walt Disney theme park, and you think about family fun and children enjoying themselves with Mickey Mouse and Mickey Mouse putting smiles on their faces. And yet, look what is happening, let's say, to that city. It's like, the terrorists also had chosen Disneyland as a target, but that did not materialize. But after he has slaughtered 49 people, there's just a kind of a black pall hanging over Orlando, and it's almost as if figuratively it's bloodied Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney World. And it's a terrible scene. And we need, of all people, need to know why. How do we solve such a problem? Or those problems? How do we do that? Even the world is looking at us sort of aghast at what is going on here. We never seem to learn anything from the bloodshed. Why? Let me read just a little more from this article. FBI Director James Comey said that Mateen had strong indications of radicalization and was probably inspired by foreign terrorist organizations. He said Mateen called 911 around the time of the attack and not only pledged loyalty to the Islamic State, but also expressed solidarity with the Tsarnaev brothers who carried out the Boston Marathon bombing. The FBI investigated Mateen for 10 months, beginning in May 2013, after he was said to have made inflammatory remarks in support of terrorists. Now, his own father is a supporter of the Taliban terrorists, and they have been our enemies for over a decade and have killed many American soldiers. So what is he doing here in America? Why was he invited in? Or why is he even allowed to stay with such views? That's certainly not a good environment for a child to grow up in and not become a terrorist, if you ask me. But why, you see, why is it we don't seem to be bothered by that the way we should be? There is a scripture in Isaiah 1 and verse 7 that says, your land is being devoured by strangers right before your eyes. That's something we ought to be concerned about. And if we don't become more concerned about it, well, it's going to intensify. But there is a solution to all this. God tells us there is a solution if we'll just listen to Him. And if we don't listen, it just means more suffering until we finally do listen. Notice this final little statement here from the Associated Press. The Islamic State's radio called Mateen, quote, one of the soldiers of the caliphate in America. See, whether we like it or not, we're in a war. They know they are soldiers, and they're willing to die in this warfare. They're really putting their lives on the line. You have to give them that. America is under attack, but nobody really understands why. They don't understand the mystery. And today, well, we're going to solve that mystery. We have a booklet entitled America Under Attack. And I tell you, it is a sobering read, but everybody ought to be reading it. When we look at this world, we know that it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 that Satan is the god of this world. Now, he's the god of this world, and it even gets worse. If you look in the book of Revelation, it puts all of this prophecy in a time sequence or a time frame. So let's read Revelation 12 and verse 7 and see if we can't figure out what is going on here and why all of these terrible, bloody massacres keep occurring over and over and over again. Verse 7 of Revelation 12 reads this way. The dragon fought, and his angels, or the fallen angels, the demons, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, or his demons. You see, Satan deceives the whole world. He's the prince of the power of the air. In other words, he broadcasts through the airwaves, very much like radio and television, and he works on attitudes and moods and feelings, emotions. People get really emotional about anything. Well, you can be sure he's going to come calling if they're the wrong kind of emotions. But he is now confined to this earth with millions of demons. Confined to this earth. They were spread all over the universe. But when Satan decided to go up against God again a second time, God cast him down to this earth and confined him and all of the demons to this earth. Now that has to be something that surely is making a major impact on this world. And that happened 30 years ago, and we believe we can even tell you the very day it happened. And yet this is a major prophecy of the Bible. And you have all of these powerful demons and Satan himself that are, they're much more powerful than human beings. And they have been cast to this earth and they're confined to this earth. And what are they doing? Well, God tells you what they're doing, and we need to really take note of this. And it's happening within the nations of Israel. And you need to know who those nations are. You need desperately to know that. But notice, he was cast to the earth. And you really, how can, when something like that happens, if you're honestly aware and attuned to what the Bible says, how could you not notice it? How could you not know that it's happened? I mean, this is a powerful army of evil spirits. And now they're confined to this earth, millions and millions of them, just waiting for, well, an opportunity to stir people up for more bloody massacres. And yet, people who talk about being religious, well, they don't really know anything about this. They don't know much about their Bibles, usually. And how can they be moved and how can they be made aware of this? This is something that is just having an enormous impact on this earth. It must be that way. It could be no other way. And yet, people, well, just take it casually, it seems. But before this is over, they're going to take it a lot more than casually. They're going to do that. This is earth-shaking, and in many ways, even universe-shaking. Because God cast them out, and now he said the people, the angels in heaven, are rejoicing because they're no longer allowed to go out in the universe and start wars. And soon it's going to be that way on this earth as well. That's the good news here. Notice verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea." Even of the sea, it's so bad, you see. "For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." He knows he has just a short time. In other words, he knows God, Jesus Christ, is about to kick him off his throne and rule this earth himself. He knows that. Most people that say they're religious, well, they don't know it, usually. They don't know much about this at all. And that's to their own shame, I think. But look, if he's the God of this world before this even happened, what kind of a world is this going to be when he's cast down and confined to this earth with all of those millions of demons? What's the earth going to be like then? Well, we really need to think about this, but the good news is it's all happening just shortly before Jesus Christ returns to this earth and brings it happiness and joy and prosperity and all the good things that we want. All the abundance that we really want, he's going to bring it. But we don't have it today. Or if we do, we're losing it in most cases. But Satan rebelled against God again and rose up against him and tried to overthrow him. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean when Satan, the devil, does something like that? Do you know it says in John 8 and verse 44 that he is the father of liars and was a murderer from the beginning? He just loves to murder people. Do you know such a being is now on this earth and he and his murdering demons are just confined to this earth? And they're stirring up all kinds of violence like you've never seen or heard of before. You know that's true if you know anything about what's happening in this world. But there's good news. There's good news. Even if people reject the warning, they're going to suffer more. But Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth soon. It says in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, that he's going to have to, or there'd be no flesh saved alive. And yet, that was a prophecy Christ made while he was walking this earth when he came the first time. And still, people are not Well, they don't seem to be very moved by it. But it is staring you in the face today. And that's reality. That's the real world. What is going to happen to this world? If you just think about it, what in the world is going to happen to this world if there is no God? Well, there's going to be no flesh saved alive. But there is a God, and He is showing man that he can't rule himself, that he doesn't know how to rule himself, that God has to rule man or everything goes dreadfully wrong. That's the problem. That's what this being cast down means. Here you're casting down a mass murderer. He's been doing it from the beginning. He stirred Cain to slay Abel right from the very beginning. First family. And he's been doing it ever since. War is just a way of life. Winston Churchill said, "The history of man is the history of war." But we've had a powerful nation for years and have had quite a lot of peace overall. And we don't realize what this world is really like and how when these other nations get power, they're going to use it unlike what we usually do. They're not afraid to use it, but we are, because God has broken our will. It's all because of our sins. I'm not pointing the finger at any leader. If you look at the Bible, God says it's you have to blame the people because of their transgressions. There's where the problem lies. Well, if you notice, if you go and read verse 13, you can see Satan, when he was cast down, immediately attacked God's church and virtually destroyed it, destroyed the work, stopped the work. And then he went on to physical Israel, specifically to two nations in particular. But then if you go on down to verse 14, here's some more good news. God says, when these things unfold, if you are obeying me and doing my work, I'm going to protect you from all of it. I'm going to take you to a place where you'll be protected. Now, that's not a rapture. That's just a physical act as far as we're concerned. But it certainly has spiritual ramifications, to be sure. Here we have Revelation 12 and verse 12. I mean, this is a defining and major truth of the Bible. I mean, this just causes problems galore that we can't even imagine. And we need to know what to do about it and how to protect ourselves. We need to know that. The American people are certainly to blame. The British people are to blame. Other nations like the Jews in the Middle East, they're to blame. God blames the people when they're involved in transgression. But most people don't even know what transgression is today because they don't know the Bible. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now, who knows what sin is today, really? Who will use a biblical definition to tell you what sin is? I don't hear anybody really doing that. Isaiah 1 and verse 4, let me read this to you. Ah, sinful nation, nations it should read, a people laden with a lawlessness, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Eternal. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Well, how about that? You want more about those transgressions? Notice Ezekiel 33 and verse 10. Therefore, O you son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? How can we just wallow in our sins and still live as a nation? God has the answer. God has the solution. It's not a mystery anymore, or shouldn't be. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, says the eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, if that isn't sobering to you, I don't know what could be more sobering. But God says, look, there's a solution. And he wants to stop the suffering. He wants to stop it now. But if we don't heed the warning, well, we're going to suffer more and more and more. But still, in spite of that, Jesus Christ is going to return and he's going to save us from ourselves. Notice Ezekiel 5 and verse 8, therefore thus says the eternal God, behold, I am against you, and will execute judgments in the midst of you in the sight of the nations. There isn't anything worse that could happen to a nation or nations than that. Having God say, I am against you. Not only Satan and the demons, but you see, God is orchestrating this overall. It's all because of God's punishment. Will you turn? Will I turn? Will we do that? Notice Ezekiel 13, verse 8 says almost the same thing. Therefore, thus says the eternal God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, says the eternal. Verse 9, and my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. Now, there's a good responsibility for you. He said, look, well, you, in general, these prophets or these ministers are not telling the truth. They're not telling you what it says in the Bible. Is that me? See, that's where your responsibility comes in. If you know this Bible, you know who's teaching you the truth. If you really know the Bible, you know who's teaching you the truth. If you don't know, you don't understand who's the false minister and who's not. Now, that is your responsibility. That is your responsibility. God's message has to go out to three nations of Israel in particular, the two birthright nations and the scepter nation. But the whole world is going to be corrected before this is over. It's not only going to be three nations of Israel. It's going to be, then comes after the tribulation, the dreadful day of the Lord. And right at the end of that, Jesus Christ is going to return after he's brought destruction on this earth like they've never even imagined, to make them wake up and let them know that he's going to rule this earth and nobody is going to stop him. That's the good news that we can be so thankful to God for. But we have to realize what is going on. God says, look, if you forget me, you can read this in Hosea 4 and verse 6. He said, you're destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, the biblical knowledge. But he says, if you forget the law of God, I will forget your children. That's a terrifying prophecy. And I hope we will heed it and learn from it. God doesn't want to see us suffer. But he has to get our attention. I wonder how many moms of those that were slaughtered in Orlando in that terrible massacre, how many of those moms today are shedding tears over their children? Even though they're grown, they still are shedding a lot of tears. And that's not the way we would want it to be. But look, there are prophecies galore. Daniel is only for this end time. And it says in verse 4 and verse 9 that it's only for this time we're living in today, only for the end time. It wasn't even for another time, except in a little history in there, here and there. But it's just aimed at us today in this end time. Do we know what is the end time? Well, there are hundreds of prophecies that talk about that and teach you what that is. This is all closed till the time of the end. And now it's been revealed, and there it is for all of us. And then you can go back over in Daniel 8, verses 11 and 12, where it talks about the work of God being destroyed by that rebellion against God, by His own people. And He said they are into transgression. What are they doing? They're casting truth to the ground. They're casting God's truth to the ground. That's the problem. And that causes God to be filled with wrath. And then He goes on to say in verses 24 and 25 that He is going to return to this earth and reestablish all of that truth to this entire earth. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
An Islamic State-affiliated gunman entered an Orlando nightclub in the early morning hours of June 12th and went on a rampage, killing dozens and wounding dozens more. The massacre was the deadliest mass shooting in American history. It is the most notable instance in a wave of mass shootings that has left Americans searching for answers. Discover the cause of such devastating bloodshed. The Orlando shooting is a prime example of the chaos gripping America today. The prophet Ezekiel foretold an onslaught of crisis that would cripple this once great nation. Request Gerald Flurry's recently expanded free booklet, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet, to learn how America is hurtling toward the worst crisis ever. But the bad news will soon come to an abrupt end. Discover the wonderful hope that follows immediately after America's worst nightmare. Prove how the words of a prophet who lived thousands of years ago apply directly to your life. Now more than ever, you need to read and understand Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet. Overlooked in the thousands of reports about the Orlando shooting is a dark spiritual element. Request your free copy of Gerald Flurry's booklet, America Under Attack, to understand how an evil spirit force is systematically undermining the greatest nation. The problems in America today are worse than you think. There is only one way to solve this gigantic problem. For the shocking solution, read America Under Attack. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Order now.